You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with our guest co-host and familiar face on the podcast, Tim Neely. Familiar voice, I guess, because y'all are listening on the audio podcast, except you Patreon.
It sounds just like this.
Mr. Quiet, even when he's worked up. Switchcast is a podcast where we know what we're talking about, despite evidence to the contrary. Although, Tim actually does know what he's talking about. He's got a lot of nerd knowledge. Although, somebody corrected me on something I quoted you on about the Bentley Arnage T with a 6.75 liter in the Cosworth cams turbo, and the ones that melt.
It's true. They crush cams.
Yes, you were right, but there was more to it that they said, sort of. Anyway, it was beyond my level.
Bring that guy in here. Because I'm right.
I think he has like seven of them.
Well, he's got a guy to grind him some new cams.
This is brought to you by Ethan Huffnagel, our international executive producer. So if you don't like the sound or the editing,
blame
his fault. I'm super negative tonight, aren't I?
I know.
But if you love it, it's also his fault. If you love the content,
even the positive is negative tonight.
Fault could be a good thing.
All praise due to Doug. All complaints, I think, would be unto me. So I think that's fair.
No, you never get complaints, actually.
I've seen a few.
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But
we had a rough go at it for a little bit.
We were sorting things out.
Production value
now
runs like butter over here.
Just my opinions and Tyler's beard experiment.
We have a successful beard experiment co-hosting this
Tim
week.
Has got a great beard going on.
Look at that.
I feel like I've done my work and it's paid off with 98% sexiness.
Well, if you love Ethan's production and the sound quality and the editing and our content, please help us out by supporting our sponsors, sharing the podcast with somebody you know, leaving a comment, 5-star review, whatever you can do to help out the algorithms. You don't have to give us money. But if you want to, you can sign up for our Patreon and get exclusive content. Watch live with us, send your questions, and get exclusive Patreon episodes. You can do that at patreon.com/switchcast.
That's right. Do you want to give a...
If you're dyslexic, switchcast.com/patreon.
Switchcast.live/patreon.
Darn it all.
Now literally no one is becoming a Patreon. Even if they want to, they're lost in...
Patreon,
link
Switchcast.
In the description.
The two. Yeah.
Do you want to give a little teaser? Glorious Patreon
content?
Our
Patreon
content?
Topic tonight is the worst car names of all time.
I can't wait.
Not the worst cars, but the worst car names. Let's see. Warm up lap one. What is fueling this podcast tonight? Tim, what do you got in your tank over there?
I don't know what I poured. What
did you pour the Glengasau?
I did.
Actually. You did? No, I did. All right. Yeah, some underrated Highland
and it's pretty good.
Single malt
and it's
scotch.
Not peaty. So you won't go home with ash mouth.
I'm drinking some Wild Turkey 8-year brought to us by Dan Doucette, our resident technical advisor, and he'll be weighing in on the Patreon episode as well. I was watching the Charlie Sheen documentary last night. Have you seen that?
I watched it, and I was so into it until I wasn't.
Don't ruin it. I'm halfway through.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but I actually told several people not to watch it because it was, it was momentarily. It had its
Well, the only reason sadness. I bring this up, there's we really sadness. Don't care how good it is or isn't because okay. it's not car related.
It's not at all.
Everything on the podcast has to be car related or joke related.
Is there a joke coming?
Yes. Okay. Did you hear that Charlie Sheen started a moving company?
No, I did not.
It's called 2.5 Men in a Truck.
Oh. Did we drink to that? What do we do? Like, I don't.
Speaking of trucking, you like my segues?
That was great.
We had a hotshot carrier show up at our shop this week to pick up a really nice low mile Porsche 991. And you've heard me complain about hotshot truckers. Yeah. You've probably had your own.
We've discussed. Yeah. It's been painful.
So this one we didn't book. It was an open carrier. It was a $100,000 991. Typical for these carriers, they had the quick change company name sleeve on the back of their, the back window. This one was actually like a slider thing. It was fancy. It wasn't just regular tape. It was set up to change company names on the fly.
That almost makes it worse.
Dodge Charger with flat tires on the front of the trailer. It was booked through a broker, and by all metrics, we should have refused the load, although it wasn't really ours to refuse. The buyer booked it, and essentially, we just went through, called them, and said, here's the company name, here's the photos, here's the VIN on the truck, here's all the information. Can we release it? Is this you? Is this the right delivery address? And they said, yep, okay, good to go. So we're like, all right, hands off, it's yours. But with all the red flags, the driver was the ace in the hole. He was Eastern European, like they all are, but he spoke great English. He was super careful. He was clean. He didn't ask to use our bathroom, amazingly, which never happens. He didn't burn up the clutch on the Porsche. And the funniest thing is like when we were talking about, sending this car on the trailer, he's like, yeah, I don't know why a customer would book open trailer. He was making fun of the customer for cheaping out on the transport because he knew. He literally said, why customer book cheap transport for Porsche? Look at my trailer. It's a piece of shit.
That's a horrible Eastern European accent.
Whatever. I'm not good at any of these accents.
It's no good accent. This accent is no good.
I can't do Gru. I just need this accent is no good. But he's literally making fun of his own trailer. Like, I like this guy. I would hire this driver in a New York minute to haul like a nice enclosed carrier. But he's stuck friggin' bottom feeding, competing with all the shady operators.
The ones that are not shady are shady. I mean, I just, if you are a quality human being, start a transport company. That's what we need. We need more. I'm telling you, man, because it is bad.
It is bad. But it's hard for the good ones to get ahead because of this dubious competition. I feel like this guy needed to work for like Reliable or somebody because he.
Right.
He was good guy. But all the metrics.
Good guy.
Good guy.
He's a good guy.
I'm driver. I've had many Eastern European truckers, the good ones, volunteer to come on and do like bits making fun of the shady ones because it's all the same lines. Hello, I'm driver.
I'm gonna
Can
share
I use
with
your
you
bathroom?
A short truck driver. So I just had $145,000 Ray LaMontagne's Jaguar picked up last month by a truck driver, a reputable enclosed truck driver that a reputable auction agency recommended. He picked it up, and 20 minutes later, my son sends me a picture from Meyer parking lot, the Meyer parking lot 20 minutes from where the car was, and the Jag is sitting in the Meyer parking lot with no truck driver anywhere to be found. I said, what is happening? So I call the truck driver. He doesn't answer. I said, don't leave the car. Because, I mean, it's just chilling in this parking lot. No truck, no whatever. Finally, my other son pulls in, because that son had to go. My other son arrives. Car's still there 15 minutes later. Call the guy. Get a hold of the guy. He's like, why are you calling? I said, where is the car? He's like, it's on truck. I'm like, I guarantee it's not on the truck. Where's the thing? I put it in a nice area. I had to pick up other car. At a Meyer, I mean, it's unlocked. The car was unlocked. $150,000, $145,000 car. Like, this is the reputable enclosed shipper. Nice. It was a nice truck. Like, the whole.
Who I'm was it?
You. I don't want to. I'll Who tell was you. I'll tell off you. Mic. I'll what? Tell you off mic. I can't. They're reliable. They're reliable.
Though. They are reliable.
They're reliable.
What
though.
They do.
Yeah. It's, he's bad. He's not good. He's not good, Doug.
Okay, can you read what the guy said again so it we have the effect? I did the accent bad. I'm literally quoting. He says, why customer book cheap transport for the Porsche? Look at my trailer. It piece of shit.
I would need to read it, but I could do this for you, Doug.
All Eastern Europeans are now like, Tim has offended me deeply.
No more accents.
I've been doing accents for since we started the podcast. They've never been good. The only one I do okay is an Indian accent. What? Why is this? They're all accents. Southern accent. I do a Southern accent. Ooh, don't go there. So it's. Main accent?
Are accents
offensive just
accent.
Because
I don't
accents?
Know. Everything's offensive now. I just try to not offend people. It's like I try to say, like cars that I don't like, I try to not disclose cars I don't like. Other than the E60 M5. The E60 M5 I've disclosed many times.
Wow. Okay.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield Well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
In the news this week, Bobby Kahn. Sure, many of you know that name. If you don't, Emporio Motor Group should ring a bell. An article from December 23rd, 2014. Well, not an article, a press release from FBI.gov. Owner of car dealership charged in large-scale fraud scheme. This is par for the course here at Switchcast, talking about car dealer fraud. You may say, wait a minute, 2014 is not this week. How is that this week's news? We'll get there. Bobby Kahn of Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, according to this press release, was charged by complaint with one count of wire fraud, and he is currently being sought by law enforcement because, editorial note, he fled overseas and went to a country from which he could not be extradited. From at least December 13 through September 14, Khan, through Emporio Motor Group, engaged in acts to defraud lenders to Emporio and customers of the dealership. The long and short of it is he's doing what, or he did what every other car dealer scam was, where he would consign cars and not pay the consigners. He would consign cars with loans on them and not pay off the loans after he sold them. In fact, in one of these cases listed in the press release here, he continued to make payments on the loan. The customer didn't even know it was sold, said, "Nope, I didn't sell the car. I don't know what you're talking about." He did not pay off lenders. He got loans for cars that weren't actually sold, submitted fraudulent paperwork. I mean, let's see. According to this press release, the bank is exposed to a potential loss of more than $1.7 million. And to date, more than 75 individuals have filed complaints concerning Khan's actions at Emporio. It took them years. He finally turned himself in, came back to the United States. Apparently, he was overseas because he was trying to negotiate his family having their visas reinstated so they could come over. He was convicted of, he pled guilty and was convicted to one count of wire fraud, was sentenced to 2 years in federal prison, and is currently on probation. The other thing he's currently on is the docket for U.S. Congress. He is running for U.S. Congress out of Nevada because you can't spell Congress without Con.
In preparation for this podcast, I watched, he has on YouTube a like four-part, I want to say documentary, but it's barely a documentary. And it's like the worst produced piece of advertising. I mean, I almost don't even know.
Is it something that he produced as a press type thing?
You know, like rich car dealer and I live the American dream and then the feds tried to take me down. And I suffered through it because I wanted to understand. And I understand it even less now. Like we always complain about our representatives don't represent us. How does this guy get elected? I mean, there's hundreds of stories like this, probably. I mean, elected a guy named Anthony Weiner, and then he did Weiner stuff, and then we reelected him. So, like, it's us. It's all on us.
It is.
It's on us. And
this is not unique to politicians. So this is not really a surprise.
Or car dealers, for that matter. Right,
it's almost a perfect fit.
Yeah, his case and his documentary is special. And so if you really want to understand why you should not vote for what is Bobby Khan? Is that his name?
Bobby Khan.
Yeah, just watch his documentary.
Republican Nevada.
Watch his documentary and you will not vote for him. Or maybe you will, and that's just how it works.
Well, he's pretty active on social media. He's doing lots of, you know, PR stuff now on Instagram, one of which was complaining about how Navy Federal Credit Union did some unjust fee or loan or something like that, but it happened to be one of his family members that he was upset about. And I thought it was pretty rich for a guy who defrauded banks to complain about how banks were treating
After watching the documentary, I almost have no words. Like, I cannot believe that someone, you know, would do that. I mean, and it is, you know, as a car dealer, cars come and cars go. Like, you make money. Why do you have to do evil? Where does that come in?
Because they're not making enough money. They're trying to live this huge
crazy lifestyle.
He was on the Real Housewives of whatever, right. Bergen County. He was trying to be a celebrity. He was a celebrity.
Yeah.
And the constant theme, and this comment actually came to us from one of our listeners, is that the reason these people in the car business and other businesses that service the uber rich is because they keep trying to live the lifestyle of their clients and they can't do that.
Right. Right.
With very few exceptions.
Yeah, they should not try to do that. You can sell cars and then also like to not have personal debt. You know what I mean? Like, you can do, it's possible to be a good human being. That's the takeaway.
It's possible to be rich enough, but if you're trying to keep up with the image of your hyper-rich clients, it's not happening.
Yeah, these yachts.
You
got
to sell a lot of Toyotas for
that
to happen.
That's right.
So anyway, he's running for Congress, and he's very open about his past. He's almost using it as a, you know, I've been through the ringer. I've seen it all. I've, you know, had ups and downs. But listen, this is not. This happened to me 15 years ago.
Right.
Good track record of ethical behavior since then. This is, he just got out of prison in 2023, I think, and is still currently on probation.
Yeah. And this is not, I mean, there's multiple charges. And if you watch his documentary, there's like a fire, arson. There's arson charges. There's like a lot of charges. Many of them date back to like the
potentially maybe attempted insurance fraud.
Yeah, insurance fraud, like maybe. early 2000s. I will say, if you like the Bentley Arnage, he has a Bentley Arnage in the first two episodes. So there's a lot of Arnage sightings.
Is it his though?
It was probably the bank's. You know,
some
what I mean?
Client that didn't know, right.
Or a consignee who, yeah, so. Right. Yeah, very unfortunate situation. And when you sent the link that came through first, when you sent me that, here's the topics we want to talk about. You sent me the Bobby Kahn for Congress. And I looked at the page, and it had actually, hilariously, it was not a well-built web page. So like some of the pages didn't work. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a clown. Oh yeah, he's a clown. And it's disappointing. I don't know. I don't know. Like the takeaway there is I don't know why, you know, if you listen to this guy talk for 15 minutes, like I don't want to buy a car from this guy. You know what I mean? Like I don't have, he doesn't make me,
but
trust
he is going for change. He wants to represent the marginalized and the, you know, he wants tax reform, all these conservative talking points. But here we go. This is great. He's also apparently not, to me, part of reform is responsibility. I'm talking about reform in terms of his ethics and his behavior, not, you know, policy reform that he wants to effect. So there's a saying, a tiger doesn't change their stripes or lose their stripes. And a good example of that is Charles Harris, who we've talked about multiple times on this podcast. He was a alleged fraudster because he was never convicted, but he had a dealership down in Clarksville, Tennessee, and he did the same thing. Sold cars, didn't pay off the loans, you know, so gave cars to people. They never got their title. This is all firsthand. I've talked to all these people. And he told me on the phone, I'm paying these people off. I've been using my money to try to make all this stuff right. Bull crap. Bank sued him. I called the people they said he was making it right with. They're like, bull crap. We can't get a hold of him. We haven't seen a dime. And he just kept on doing the same things. But if you look into his past, 12 years before this, he was convicted of financial fraud in some loan scheme that he did with a banker, right? So it's like only a matter of time before these people do these things again, unless there is true repentance, which starts with taking responsibility for what you've done, right?
I would love to see that, but I mean, you know, this is one of the things.
We're definitely not, because this article on Las Vegas Review Journal says, well, first of all, they use the quote allegedly. Kahn appeared on the FBI's most wanted list for allegedly defrauding people through his high-end car dealership in New Jersey, though he continues to claim he was not responsible and says he was a victim of lawfare.
I don't know how they keep getting away with it. Like, I feel like if you do that once, that should be a problem, let alone dozens and dozens of times, to the point where the federal government is breathing down your neck. And successfully prosecutes you.
Yeah. Well, but it was alleged, and he was a victim. He was a victim of lawfare.
I hate to
say
it. He
now works as a consultant for law firms.
And I'm sure he still flips cars. That's the crazy thing is, like, in the car business, I know guys like that, you know, and I am always shocked when 8 years later they come back. Well, they're not going to do that again. But they always do stupid stuff again. It seems like, and if he gets in Congress, it'll be the same thing. So don't vote for Bobby. Bobby Kahn.
But that won't be any different from the people that are in Congress now.
Well, then, I mean,
no different.
We should just immediately run for Congress.
What's to say the power won't corrupt us?
I mean, it. I don't. It probably will. You know. I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I think I shot you a text too that why is he, you asked a question. I can't remember what the question was, but like,
what's his angle?
The angle is, hey, you know what? Even though I had all these millions and millions of dollars, it's still not as good as if you have the power. And he's like, screw getting the money. I'm going to get the power. And then I'm going to get the money because he sees people come into Congress. I'm not going to name any names, but they come into Congress with debt, like 78,000 negative net worth. And then 3 years later, they're worth 3 million. And then 4 years after that, they're worth 50 million. And then 4 years after that, it's in the hundreds of millions and they make $200,000 a year. And I don't know about you, but like, you don't just magically end up with hundreds of millions of dollars.
No.
And I think that's what, you know, this guy's looking at like, oh, you know, the car racket, it's been kind of hard. You know, maybe I don't want to, wait a second, I'm going to run for Congress. And, you know, I would be willing. Well, I wouldn't be willing. I mean, what happens is that guy gets elected and yeah, whatever his net worth is right now, which is probably not great.
I don't know the shirts he's wearing in his, he had a pink shirt that I think was worth more than my house. Like,
you know, the crazy thing is he's second generation wealth. So his dad owned multiple, if not a dozen restaurants on what is it, in Atlantic City, like on the boardwalk,
you know, sure.
pizza joints and stuff and parking lots. And they had parking lots and they were in the parking, you know, valet stuff. I mean, he had money. Why do illegal stuff?
Well, and his either brother or cousin, according to one of my customers, is a big name in Vegas and either owns a casino or works with casinos and stuff.
So why do illegal stuff? So. Like, what? You already have money. I don't know. So I think that's the answer, though, is I already have money. I don't really want any more money. I want power so that I can just do whatever I want and be a total criminal.
Well, he obviously needs money because
it's crazy.
If he had money, he wouldn't have let the Emporia Motor Group go down. Like, why would he do that if he had the money to pay off the bills? He put himself in a bad spot there.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was Emporia Motor Group, again, it wasn't like I was, you know, I learned about this because I wanted to be able to talk about it. But that was like a viable business. I mean, it was like a large car dealership. So I don't know, like, again, maybe the money...
Maybe the money was being funneled somewhere. And so the business itself went down and he figured a couple years in prison was worth coming out.
Watch the documentary. He's a bad guy.
$50 million.
He's a bad guy.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what went on behind the scenes, but the facts that we have in front of us are
not good.
Ex-car dealer con running for Congress. But, you know, so... To me, it doesn't look like a serious bid. I feel like there's some scheme where it's, well, I'm going to raid the campaign funds or something like that. I know that there's laws that regulate that, but, you know, how long is it going to take to catch up with it if that's the play? I'm not saying that that is. We're just talking here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought Trump's presidential bid was a publicity stunt at first and
literally
what happened there.
I literally did. Like, I mean, and you're talking about
the first time.
Yeah. I literally thought it was a joke and then it was like, oh, surprise.
Yeah.
And you know,
so who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. Wild times.
Wild times. Let's see. Corvette curmudgeon / things heard or seen at a car show. We're kind of debuting that new segment because people say ridiculous things at car shows, but this was one that was posted on a Corvette. We call them boomer boards, where you list your stats on a car and put it up on a poster next to it. 2024 Chevrolet Corvette. Let's see, Z51 LT2, because it matters what trim package you have. Car number 7 assembled in 2023.
Oh, painful.
Oops. That's not car number 1. Red Mist Metallic, 495 horsepower, 6.2 liter V8, 8-speed CVT transmission.
CVT?
Yes.
Wow.
That's on the board.
Wow. Nissan Rogue owners rejoice. I want to see this board. That's comedy.
He put it on there.
Does it have passenger side airbag on the board? No. I like when they do that.
But is this, he put a CVT. Yeah. It's not.
I know.
It's what? Maybe he racing meant. Hash marks front and rear. Grand Sport stripes, bro. And they shouldn't go on the rear anyway. Friggin' hash marks. This car's like corned beef hash. Anyway, that's Corvette. People be doing Corvette things. Or was it Boomers Be Booming?
Boomers Be Booming. Do we drink when Boomers Be Booming?
Boomers Be Booming.
And keep on keeping on, Boomers.
There, but for the grace of God, go us.
Yes.
With my rare Corvette.
Please don't let me have Boomer thoughts. Please.
Oh, boy. You know, I actually made a Boomer board for my Ford Taurus SHO when I was in high school. I found it, and it was like a list of all the cars that the SHO was faster than in a 0-60 race, and I still have it, but I'm embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I did this three-paragraph write-off. Well, it was just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
I will caveat this. Up
how great the SHO was and how many cars were slower than it.
I will caveat this slightly. So I hate Boomer boards and I hate the big thing that like, and especially when there's mistakes, but that's usually bad. And whatever those kids are, the little stuffed kids.
Oh,
the
yes.
Boomers. I don't,
yeah,
there's
the
a
crying
name
for, babies.
Crying babies. Yeah. I don't like that. That freaks me out. Creeps me out. But when I think it's applicable or you get a pass is like, if you have a, like a TVR Tuscan or something like
that. Nobody knows.
No
what
one
it
knows
is.
What it is. And you have like a little thing and it's on the dash. Okay.
But tell us real info about the car. I don't care what options you selected.
Real,
tell me
like
real
just a,
things.
Yeah. Like a little thing about here's the car and
yeah,
it's, I imported it or whatever, or, yeah, you know, even like a Honda Beat or something weird.
Yeah.
If you got something weird and maybe no one's ever seen it, because inevitably what happens is that what's this? Then, but a Corvette. I mean, what? Who needs? I mean, does there?
But it's the seventh CA one Corvette, made that year.
It's a CA Corvette. There's 71 of them here at this car show. You know, not needed. Not needed, Boomer.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
In the news this week and talked about a lot is the Louisville Metro Police Department crushes a Hellcat Durango that was allegedly seized in a street takeover. This has raised the ire of many people and also not raised the ire of many people who are not Stellantis fans, but
or takeover fans.
Right.
Which after the slammed enough thing.
So, of course,
which is one big takeover. Anyways,
right.
Even before the takeover.
Yes. So there's a lot to be said about crushing seized vehicles. Usually the police just keep them and use them, you know, for their benefit auction them off.
I personally like.
There's a whole issue of civil asset forfeiture, which if the person is not charged with the crime yet, can they keep the item? If it was seized in commission of a crime, maybe, but like...
All of this is like the gray area that I don't like. So
super gray area.
My understanding was that punk-ass kids stole the car and we're street racing it.
Allegedly. So that, let's see. The press release from the Louisville Metro Police Department reads as follows. Crushing crime one car at a time. Ooh. Oh. Today, Louisville took a bold step in our ongoing fight against illegal street racing and dangerous takeovers. A 2021 Dodge Durango Hellcat valued at $100,000 was crushed at the LMPD impound lot. This vehicle was confiscated during the 2024 Street Rod Nationals and found to contain multiple stolen parts, including its engine, making it unfit for auction or use in the LMPD fleet due to liability and cost concerns. Mayor Craig Greenberg personally pushed the button to initiate the crushing. Oh. Nice little PR
moment for him.
I hate it.
Sending a clear message, Louisville will not tolerate criminal misuse of our streets. This isn't just about one car. It's about protecting lives, restoring order, and showing that our city stands united against reckless behavior. Let this serve as a warning to those who think they can turn our streets into speedways. We're watching, we're acting, and we're not backing down.
Oh, I freaking hate politicians lately. This whole podcast has given me politician dysphoria over here.
That's a big word.
It is. I don't know. I made that up. That might not really be a well, thing.
What's your take on it? Do you think this is legit? Do you think this is a publicity stunt? Do you think it's warranted? I'm
so the takeover thing, I will say the street takeover thing, I am ardently against. And it's one of the things that's been screwing up and contributing to car culture being really going down the tubes. So, yeah, I mean, do I think something needs to be done? Yes. What needs to be done is, you know, here's the problem. And here's where I see a sort of a two-faced nature in this, in all of the politicians dealing with and municipalities dealing with this. So in Columbus, when this is happening, a lot of the people that get arrested or the people that get taken into custody end up being like 15 years old or 14 years old. And a lot of times they have weapons on them and stuff. So like the reality is there's a crime issue there. There's a policing issue in this younger generation that is stealing Kias and Hellcats and, you know, all these cars, and then going and intentionally wrecking them, intentionally creating havoc, and, you know, doing it for the Insta likes, and, you know, it's horrible. Do I think crushing the car is doing anything? No. Like, arrest the kids and put them in juvenile. Don't right. send them home.
Punish the person, not
punish
the car.
The car, as far as, like, I personally have had it with all Hellcat equipped Dodge products just because they've become almost a meme. I mean, actually, literally they've become a meme.
Yeah.
And so I don't really have any partialness to a Hellcat Durango. At the same time, I'm sure it could have been useful to the local municipality in some way. Even as a, hey, we confiscated this, sort of like they did with the Dare cars back in the day or whatever, you know,
yeah.
you know, do a, you know, rev it or, you know, show up at the car show and, hey, we're the cops, don't screw around, we'll take your car, you know, whatever. I don't know. Just, and the reality is, it's probably a stolen car that, you know, they crushed the person that didn't do the perpetration. They probably crushed some random dude's car.
Well, if it was really stolen, then the random dude or the
got
person who
whole,
used to own it
got made whole by the insurance
probably
company.
Was made whole by the insurance company.
Probably.
What I don't understand is why it matters if it has stolen parts in it, if the car itself is stolen.
Right.
Well, that means everything in it is also stolen. Well, but the engine is stolen.
Yeah,
well,
the
no
whole
kidding.
Thing is a publicity stunt, and I don't like publicity stunts.
Especially when it comes to politicians or law enforcement officials potentially overstepping their bounds and not allowing due process,
which is, I mean, in civil, you mentioned civil forfeiture. What's to, you know, say you get stopped for whatever, 18 over in a 50 mile an hour zone. I mean, everybody watching this podcast, I mean, I've been pulled over 60 miles an hour over the speed limit before, you know, thank
allegedly.
God. Allegedly. Well, I mean, literally, because I had to pay the insurance for like 6 years of having all those points on my
Fair
license.
Enough.
You know, I mean, like reckless op is reckless op. And so, but I had to, my insurance rates like tripled.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s. So like I had to pay the price for it. You know, my whole thing now is like, where's the accountability? And the accountability is not smashing a car is not getting more accountability.
No,
really.
And here's the thing. Another YouTuber, Butter Da Insider, broke the video down and claims that it wasn't caught street racing, that that it didn't have stolen parts. Like basically all the claims that the police made about why they crushed it were not true, which is
plausible.
Plausible.
And I don't like that. I mean, I don't like that at all. And God forbid any of ours or our friends' cars ever get civilly forfeited for some BS reason, because that really, I don't even think that should be an option. I mean, if you want to get, if you get pulled over or you do something, whatever, you have the consequences, but you're giving up the asset seems completely insane to me.
Well, it doesn't, it, not permanently. It should be kept in trust until the legal stuff works itself out. If it, and most states, my, as I understand it, have a rule that if it was proven that either the asset was purchased with proceeds obtained fraudulently, or used in commission of a crime, then they can seize them. But just because a guy is suspected to be a drug dealer and he has those assets, then they'll just be like, oh, we're taking all of it.
I don't like
any
of
that. That's not cool.
Any of that personally. And I want to hold drug dealers accountable, but I also don't know, like, I mean, this is like a personal thing. So I guess it doesn't really matter, you know, what I think about, because at the end of the day, the law is the law. And if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. But I don't love taking someone's stuff. I mean, drug dealers.
I don't
weird.
Think destroying something of value is
everything.
I just, no, it's not the answer. It's not a good idea. So yeah.
Same page.
It's a PR thing, and they could do it because it was somebody else's money. It didn't cost them anything. And that's the problem. That's the entire problem with government is it's somebody else's money. So right. we can do what we want with it. The irony is, and we'll unpack this one more later, but Cincinnati, Ohio did something totally different. They sold, I think it was a Porsche Panamera that was stolen, and it had a fake VIN tag on top of the real one. And they had no problem selling it off to some other poor schmuck. They didn't know it at the time. And then they re-seized it 2 years later. But yeah.
From the guy that bought it?
Yes. But Louisville, no, we're just going to crush it.
I hate this. This is just bad.
Terrible. Terrible. Government's terrible. We will unpack that one as we get more information, but that one needs a little more research. So with that goes to our license plate to sample game, our favorite game brought to us literally and financially by Solon Spine. If you are experiencing back pain, can't drive your favorite car, can't walk, I don't know, whatever, considering surgery, go see Dr. Hoover at Solon Spine, and he will get you straightened out, literally and figuratively. But anyway, he was the one who came up with this game, and they also sponsor it. So the name of the game is we read off a vanity license plate, and the other person has to try to guess the stereotype and figure out the car that it is on. So Tim is new to this game, I believe.
I did it one other time, and I had
I think you didn't know the rules the other time.
I wasn't so good at it.
You were not good
at
it.
And I might not be good at it this time.
That's
although
okay.
I did come equipped with the plates.
Okay.
So I think
I got one for you.
Okay, hit me.
00 and then the word 7. So 007.
It's on an Aston Martin.
No.
007, not on an Aston Martin.
Correct.
And it's on a Z3, which is horrible. No.
No.
How many guesses do I get?
As many as you want. You're never going to get it.
Oh, well, okay. It's not on a James Bond car?
Not that I'm aware of. It's on a 2005 Ford Thunderbird.
Which is the worst car ever made. That's the Ford Taurus Thunderbird, right? The Ford. Yeah. This is definitely a boomer, and that's definitely a foul. And if we have noises, if we can go, that is a hard foul.
Hit the buzzer. That is
foul. That should be.
Get it? Because a Thunderbird,
yeah.
It's a bird, foul.
Yeah.
Good one.
It's foul. But see, yeah, I did that on foul. Purpose. I
all know, right. But it was your fun turn. Anyways.
So this one, I saw it and I was like, because I like a good funny. Then the funny thing is, like, I think that maybe this has been, I found two cars with this plate, and the plate is, I hope you guys don't know this, because if you don't know this, this is going to be fun, but the plate is Bush Did. B-U-S-H-D-I-D. Oh. If you know it, don't spoil it, because I laughed. And then when I found out there were more than one.
Porsche 911. Yes. You know how I knew that?
Uh-uh.
Because I used that one for Tyler. in a previous episode.
Did
but
you?
Yes. Oh. My memory actually.
That's funny.
My memory
that's
works.
Funny. It's, so if yes. that's your plate.
He got it. Like
he got
that,
it right
though.
Away.
Yeah. He's like, yep.
Really?
9/11.
Oh, I never saw that's that a, until just recently. And then I was like, yeah. Oh,
all
that's
right.
funny.
I got a layup for you.
Okay.
Texas plate, rare 427.
I mean, does the car have a 427 in it?
Yes.
Okay. It would be cool if it was on like a factory five Cobra.
They use the words rare.
Okay. Not that rare. Is it on a Corvette?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. Is it on a C6 Corvette?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
It's on a C6.
Yeah.
427 convertible.
That's cool.
Yeah. 2013.
So if that's you, which camera? if that's you, that is a cool plate. That is a rare 427. I appreciate that.
I don't.
You don't?
But I'm glad you do. I do. I 427 mean, convertible is a fantastic
a cool
car, though.
I
really
would
like
that.
Those. I really do like them. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
The non Z06 Z06.
All right. You have to guess the car.
Yes.
And the age of the person that did this now.
77.
The plate is TOP DN67. What kind of car is that on?
Top down 67.
Okay, okay.
Ford Fairlane.
Oh man, you are so
Ford Thunderbird.
No, oh.
Ford Mustang.
Mustang. Mustang. Okay. Ford Mustang. Elderly couple.
Yeah.
But I like it.
They are as old. Older
they're,
than the car.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably the original.
Not bad, right?
One on the board
you
for
got
me.
One.
All right. This was sent to me by so many people. Love it. This is a good one. WWOJD.
WWOJD.
Not WWJD. WWOJD. They get it.
I don't know.
What's WWJD?
What would Jesus do?
What's WWOJD?
I don't know.
What would OJ do?
Oh, so it was on a Bronco, white
yes!
Bronco.
But a new
Dang.
One, new white Bronco.
Oh, sad, because that was cool. All right, here, this
I'm
is
disappointed.
This
you,
one,
Tim.
I should have got that. This is an easy one. I think you're going to get this one right away.
I'm pretty slow. So
the
maybe
number
not.
Three, FIDDY.
350.
350.
Ford F-350 Super Duty or Shelby GT350? I feel like it's
I
an
almost want you to. It's an
F-350. Yeah.
Platinum.
Yeah.
If you would have said platinum.
With dubs?
I didn't see the side profile of the vehicle.
So I feel like it should have some
it probably
sweet rims.
It doesn't look like it does from the back picture.
Just
though,
tell me it does. So
it does. It has
okay.
dubs. It's on.
Cool.
It's on big. And
all right,
dubs.
Illinois plate net worth.
Is it on a Lexus?
Nope.
I wanted it to be on like a Lexus.
I'll tell you, it is going to be worth. Their net worth will be a lot less if they bought this car new.
Any Maserati. Is it on a Maserati?
No, not that bad.
Net worth. Is it a cool car?
Not really.
Okay. Is it on a Hummer? Like a H2?
Nope. Good guess,
that
though.
That would have been.
Good guess. Yeah. It is on a 2010 Panamera 4S.
That is horrible.
It is horrible. And they have a loan on it. So maybe not net worth. Oh. I love the
You ever look up a plate and it's paid for and they have a
there's
loan
a loan
on it?
I
oh,
did. We had one
gosh.
Of those. Yes.
Oh, I may.
But maybe, why would I pay cash for a depreciating asset? No, you got to be smarter with your money. Okay.
That's painful. That is painful.
painful.
This is my last one.
His maintenance probably is killing him, too.
I think this is my last one. Let me see here. Yeah, it's my last one. This one I think is fairly, I think you're going to get it. The plate is the number 2 CUTE.
Too cute.
Yeah.
Mazda Miata.
That would have been better.
Volkswagen Beetle, like new Beetle.
No. Think like what's.
Yeah. Honda S2000.
No. A pink Wrangler with ducks.
I threw up in my mouth
a little bit.
I
know it.
All right,
I did
we're
too.
Going right to mine because we're not going to dwell on that. Texas plate with a gold plate frame.
Okay.
Rent due.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. I want it to be on an Acura Legend because that would be...
Nope.
With like the gold letters too on the car.
You're in the right era.
Yeah.
And there's Alexis? Lots of gold trim.
No. It has to be a Lexus or an Acura. Rent
1993 due? Cadillac DeVille.
Oh, nice.
And they on the back windows, wow. It says, I buy trap houses.
Oh, that is awesome. Respect. And
they have a bumper sticker. Go around. If it was meant to go fast, it wouldn't be shaped like an effing brick.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that.
That might be one of the best plates we've had all season.
That's a good one.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.